Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. As we continue with this thought about what the Lord says about conformity, what does the Lord say about conformity? And here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the Scripture says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of those things that he's spoken to them about," he goes on and says, I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you, I'm strongly urging you to consider these things. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We focused on these words here in verse number 2, "and be not conformed to this world," as we've considered in the last couple messages about conformity and what the Lord says about conformity. And so what we want to do is take a look here further about this issue of conformity and see what we can get from the Scriptures about it. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us now, that we might be able to set aside all the things of life and the cares of life, those so easily distract our hearts and minds, Father. Help us to lay those things aside, that we might worship you. And Lord, help us that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, just bless in it, Father. Help us to hear what you have for us in your word. For those that are here this morning and not saved, Father, help them to see their great need, that they're sinners before you and that they're guilty and lost and undone. And Lord, that they need to obey you and come to you in repentance and faith as you command. And Lord, we pray that you might work in them and show them Jesus Christ, Lord, as their Savior, and save their souls. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. What does the Lord say about conformity? Last Sunday, we spoke about conformity, and we told that we don't need to conform to the world. Again, this passage here in verse number 2 says as much. Don't be conformed to the world, but rather, because the world is enmity, there's a hatred between God and the world for God, the world and the way of the world. There's an enmity that's there, but we need to rather conform to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to conform to anything or anyone, it needs to be to Jesus. Amen. And not looking on at Jesus and trying to shape and fashion ourselves. But as we gave that illustration a couple messages ago, we need to take on that shape of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ within us. It's a conformity that happens from within, working itself without. Remember what the Scripture says about the world, that friendship with the world in James chapter 4, verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And if we'll be a friend with the world, we're going to be an enemy of God. Also in 1 John chapter 2, the Scripture says, "Love not the world," in verse 15, 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so we are not to be conformed to the world. And the apostle admonishes us here in verse 2, don't conform to the world. And everything you say, do, and think, take a look at it, evaluate it, and see, is this worldly? Is this a thing that is against God or not? That's the question that we need to ask. And we don't need to conform to it. We don't need to be involved with it if it is against the Lord. And we need to look at that in every respect. Next, we took a look last time about our conformity dilemma, that we have fears. We have fears. We have natural fears about not conforming to that which is around us. We have our friends. We have our family. We have our spouses. We have our children. And we have those at work and all folks that we're involved with, maybe even folks in the church. We have this pressure. We have this always coming at us, the advertising of the world, the way of the world, just the scheme of the world and of mankind, the depravity of man. We've got that coming at us. And we're pressured and pressured and pressured. We're fed and fed and fed to be conformed to that, to mold to that, to shape to that. It's a dilemma that we have. We have these natural fears. They are real, but they're not right. Okay, so understand, they are real. And to deal with them, may the Lord help us that we have some courage in the Lord and understand that courage is going ahead and doing that which is right, going ahead and doing that which is obedient, even though you're afraid. Okay, these fears are real. But may the Lord help us to have courage in Him and have boldness in Him to go ahead even though we are afraid, even though, like I told you last time, our body might throw a fit about it, that we go ahead and we'd be obedient to the Lord. And so that conformity dilemma is a very real thing. We need to remember in that, that number one, we are of great value to the Lord. The world would want us, make us think that we're just inferior, that we have no value, that if we don't conform to the way of the world, we'll be worthless. Nobody will love us. Nobody will care for us. Nobody will be our friend. But I tell you what, we need to remember that we, as the children of God and saved, we are of great value to the Lord, aren't we? He gave His all for us, and that He gave His Son. We need to remember that. And don't let the world make us think that we are not, or that we are of little value, because to the Lord we are of great value as His children. Next, we need to remember in this conformity dilemma and this pressure from the world to conform to the world and the ways of the world that we're not alone, that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He's with us. He's living within. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I got to remember that. And I need you to remind me of that from time to time. We need to remind one another that the Lord is with us. You remember about those tests that I showed you about last time, told you about how if there was one there in the group amongst the eight that would stand up for what the truth was, then that one that was last, that eighth one being tested, would have boldness and have comfort, have courage and encouragement to say what the truth was, rather than go ahead and lie about a very simple thing or take the position of the crowd that this is the longest line. But C isn't the longest line, is it? B is the longest line. But because of the pressure of the other seven, many, many times those that were tested, the eighth one would say, okay, C's the longest line, when B is really the longest line. And a very simple thing. And I told you, if it's this way about something that means nothing, what about in the issues of life and the pressures that we're faced with there? We will be more susceptible to cave if we don't understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is there with us. And then also remembering that what is the Lord Jesus Christ interested in? Always. Always, in every case. The Lord Jesus Christ is never interested in situation ethics. He's never interested in what people think. He's interested in what God the Father thinks and what the Word of God is and the truth. The truth is what Jesus is interested in. And so He's standing there with us. We are not alone, and He is always an advocate for the truth. We need to remember that as we face this dilemma in life about conformity. Remember that we need to love the Lord most of all. In 1 John chapter 4, let's take a look over there. I referred to this passage last time. We want to read it here this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Remember the fear of conforming to the world, the fear of not being included, the fear, as we're going to take a look, of not being accepted. We all want to be accepted, don't we? It's just in us. We want to be accepted. And we have that fear as that pressure of the world comes on, but we need to consider rather the Lord and our love for Him. And it says here that perfect, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. I love my Lord and Savior, and He loves me. And I know that He loves me because He came and He died for me. And because He loved me so and gave everything that He has for me, He offered His soul as a sacrifice for my sin. He gave His physical life. His body was subject to be bruised and battered and beaten and tormented, persecuted for no reason at all. He was guilty in no way. He gave His blood on the cross of Calvary for the likes of me, for my sin. If He did that for me, won't He take care of the rest for me? Indeed, He will. He will. He, and as it says about the Father, He that spared not His own Son, is He going to hold back on any good thing from us? Never. He gave His Son. He gave His all. And because of His love for me, we need to love, I need to love Him. You that are saved, you need to love the Lord and desire to conform to Him. And not yield to the pressures of this world to conform to the way of the world. To conform even to the desire, the lust of our flesh. We are tempted to conform, and many times we do, because we want to be accepted. Because we want to be accepted. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God, He knows that about us. And even in this very passage, even in this very passage that we've been taking a look at, He deals with and talks to us about being accepted. It's right there. It's right there amongst this passage, and we focused on the words speaking about conformity. Don't be conformed to the world. And in the midst of this passage, in verses 1 and verses 2, He also speaks to us about being accepted. And that's what we want to take a look at here this morning. How about being our desire to be accepted? You know how it is, the pressure that comes on, and I'm just going to try to reiterate some things that all of us have heard and said, or heard, and maybe have said too. But the world, or folks in the world will come at us, maybe even brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe those we work with, or our family, or whatever, and they would say something like, oh, I want to tell you about this, or I do this, and then they say, oh, I forgot, you don't do that. Have you ever heard that kind of thing being said? Just a light little pressure there about a difference. A difference. And the thing is that if we make a difference by not yielding to a thing or not doing a thing or doing a thing and when others don't, I heard a dear sister talking about how it is with someone in her family that tell her that she goes to church too much, goes to church services too much. And just that little thing. Oh, I don't see the need to go to church that much. It's just a little load of pressure, isn't it? Just a little pressure. Or, again, as I said, oh, I want to tell you about this thing. Oh, that's right, you don't do that. Amen. That happens. That happens just in a subtle, very subtle, subtle thing. Or, come on, let's load up and let's go to so-and-so. Oh, wait a minute, that's right. You don't go there, do you? That pressure. That pressure that's there. And when we have those things come toward us that way, and we have that singling out that happens, it can't help but in our natural man that we think, oh, I'd rather be accepted. In the natural man. But pray God, the Lord, to help us that the new man will step up and says, no, I want to be accepted of my Savior. And that's what we need to do. That's what we always need to consider. We want to be accepted, don't we? And the Lord knows that we have this need to be accepted. Well, how about being accepted by God rather than being accepted by man? Something for us to consider, amen? To be accepted by God. Who is there greater to be accepted by? Many people, when they come in contact with famous people, saw recently about a man. Was told about it and then took a look at it on the internet about this man that won the America's Got Talent. He's a fella from over in West Virginia. A man working. Sorry, I got to manage that gum there. I need that cinnamon to keep my throat going, okay? But this man, he won America's Got Talent, and I guess that's going to mean $1 million. And the judges told him when he won, he said, your life will never be the same. And when I saw that, and he sang very, very well. He sang very, very well. The first thought that came to my mind is I pray that that money and that way and those people he's going to meet won't ruin him. He's a family man. He's got a wife, got children. But as he engages to Hollywood, in 2 years, 5 years, will his life be the same? Will there be someone that will come along to seduce him, to bail out on his wife and his kids? Will the love of money and the pursuit of money and that, will he yield and take and swap something else for that? The man has a very great temptation at his doorstep. And so those things do happen because what's he going to want to do? He's going to want to be accepted. He's going to want to be accepted. Great pressure will be there because he's got the talent. He's got the ability. He's got a long future in front of him in singing in that. Will he seek to hang on to those things that he says he held dear, or will he bail out on them for the sake of fame and fortune and such? We want to be accepted, don't we? How about being accepted with the Lord? This man, as I just described, as he engages the famous, he would want to be accepted by the famous. He himself becoming, on the way to becoming famous himself and being engaged with folks that are maybe even more famous than he presently, he would want to be accepted of the famous. Well, who is there more famous than the Lord? Is there anybody more famous than the Lord? Is there anybody that has done greater than God? Is there? There's not, is there? How about being accepted of Him? How about may the Lord help us to see and desire to be accepted by Him? Look here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's it go on to say? Holy, acceptable unto God. He goes on to say that's our reasonable service. As the children of God, that's just getting started well. But we're so challenged by that in this life. It says here that we present our bodies acceptable unto God. This word acceptable is talking about being fully agreeable, well-pleasing. That we take this body, that Jim Duke takes this body, and everything that this body does and has a part in, that I seek to be well-pleasing to the Lord. I'm talking about every whit, every detail, everything that this brain in this body, and everything that this mouth that's hooked to this body speaks, everything this mind thinks and determines to do, everything this body seeks physically to go do, that it would be acceptable to God. Acceptable. That it would be well-pleasing. That ye present your bodies acceptable unto God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. As we take a look here, he speaks here in verses 1 on down through here, walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, in verse number 2. For fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. Neither these other things, filthiness, foolishness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He says, goes on in verse 5, that no whoremonger, unclean persons, or covetous man, or who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's what we've been saved from. Don't let any man deceive you with empty words, with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't let anybody deceive you and say, oh, you can take care of it. You can involve yourself in those things. It'll be okay. God won't mind. After all, you've been saved by grace. Everything's okay. Grace will cover it all. No, don't take that position. He says here, don't be deceived by empty words. But because of those things, the wrath of God is going to come on folks, the children of disobedience. You've been saved from that. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't do that. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's the light in which we live. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Same word. We're to be proving to ourselves, to the world, and before God, what's right. That's what this life is about for the child of God that's been saved. To prove it. And to be that acceptable, well-pleasing unto our Lord and Savior. Back in In Romans chapter 12, it goes on here, in verse number 2, he says here, present your bodies acceptable unto God and everything. And in verse number 2 of chapter 12, Romans 12, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That ye may prove what is that acceptable will of God. That it might be evidenced in you as a child of God. That it may be evidenced in me that this is the light. I represent Christ. I am not conforming to this world and the way of the world and the way of my flesh, but I, as a child of God, am to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the will of God. The Scripture says, I believe over in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, as the apostle there deals with that church and the saints that are there, he says, you are our epistle written not on paper and not with ink, but written in heart. Sometimes you and I are the only Bible that anybody will ever read. You've heard that before, and I don't want to make that cliche a cliche, and I don't want to make it cheap, but it's the truth. And do you represent Christ in what you do and where you are Sunday morning and where you are Sunday afternoon and where you are Wednesday, by what you wear, by where you go, by the way you talk? Do you represent the Lord? By the way you instruct your children, by the way you guide your children, your grandchildren, do you represent the Lord? Do you and I represent the Lord? Can the world look on us at any time in our life and see a representation of the Lord? That's what we're to be proven. We're to be proven that acceptability, that well-pleasing to the Lord. It says here in verse 2, that ye may prove, this word prove is to test. It's to test by implication, to approve, to allow, discern, or examine, to prove or to try. It's to be being shown out in us that this aspect of my life, that aspect of my life, the other aspect of my life, that this is acceptable to God. What we do, how we behave, how we operate, is to always be acceptable before the Lord, and that is a witness to the world. Or Brother Jim, some might say, that sounds legalistic to me. Legalism. I promise you I'm going to preach a message on that, and I've got it. And I just need to find the time to do so. But I want you to take a look over here in 1 Peter chapter 1. We referred to this scripture before. And here's the indication. As a parent, if you're here and a parent, you always want and desire your children to be obedient, don't you? Yes. That's the natural way of life, is that children be obedient to the parents. That children be acceptable to the parents. That word acceptable, again, well-pleasing. Who wants, of any of us, want our children to be disobedient to us? Not a one. And you know, that's the relationship that we have with our Lord. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 14, let's back up a little bit. Speaking here in verse 10 of the salvation that the prophets have sought to look into. They looked into it diligently, of the grace that would come to us. Verse 11, searching water, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. They're writing things and telling things. Telling about the sufferings of Christ, as Isaiah comes to mind, and the glory that should follow about the resurrection of the Lord. All those Old Testament things, those that were involved in writing those, and the Lord inspired them to write them, they looked into it. What does it mean? What does it mean? As I referred and I butchered the verse this morning in Sunday school class, I'll go ahead and do it now. When David said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit here until I make all thy enemies thy footstool." He said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit here till I make all thine enemies thy footstool." David, what's that mean? What does that mean? And the New Testament saints and the apostles and the brethren that were there in that day, it was revealed unto them what it meant. And so they look into it and said it was revealed unto them, and the angels desire to look into it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And he says here in verse 13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind." Get your mind together for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen here, as obedient children. It's not legalistic. It's being an obedient child. Don't you want your child to be obedient to you? So our Heavenly Father wants us to be obedient to Him. That's it. Acceptable. Well-pleasing. You want the quivering, winking eye? The ignorance that it tells in Romans that the Lord winked at. It's not talking about Him doing like we do with children and wink at them because they're cute. It's talking about the quivering eye of the Lord, restraining and being long-suffering towards wickedness. Do we want the quivering eye of God and the frown of our Heavenly Father looking upon us as children? We're secure in Christ. We're on our way to be with the Lord when we die. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds, He's coming for us. But we're children. Or would we want the frowning of our Father upon us, or would we desire His smile, His well-pleasing? "I have no greater joy," John writes, "than to hear that my children walk in truth." That's our way with the Father. It's that way with the Lord. That we be well-pleasing unto Him. Well-pleasing. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, and there's that word conform. It's rendered differently here. We looked at that last time, or the message before last. "According to the former lust in your ignorance," when you just didn't know better, "with the desire, the former lust, the desire of your flesh and of your soul and of the world in you before you were saved. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," what you think, what you say, and what you do, "because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." How do you reckon with that passage yourself? Does that passage rub you raw and bother you, even as a child of God? May the Lord help us. Are you using the definition of holy that you come up with, or the definition of holy that the Lord gives us in His Word? May the Lord help us in that, to see the truth in it. In Hebrews chapter 13, we see another reference to this word accepted, as we've seen it in other passages. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing, acceptable in His sight." Do you want it? Do you desire to be well-pleasing? Do I desire and pursue to be well-pleasing to my Lord? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Do I pray and really mean it? That I be more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? That I be more like Him? Do I pray it? And do I mean it when I pray it? And do I pursue it and desire it? Or do I take it and in my fault and my failure lay it off on the Lord? How is it with that? May the Lord help us in that. In Colossians chapter 3, we see this reference also again here. You know what I've come to the conclusion, brothers and sisters? that we, as the saved children of God, have always had the problem of being drawn to conform to the world. We just read the brother talking about it there in Hebrews, didn't we? We were reading about it already with the Church of Rome, all right, there in Romans chapter 12. And now here we see the same thing being said again in Colossians chapter 3. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's an issue that we have in being drawn by sin and drawn by the world rather than being drawn by the Lord. It's part of this warfare and this battle that we have within. There's no justification for our disobedience, but it is the truth. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Child, when you obey your parent, the Lord likes it. The Lord is well-pleased with it. How about you and I that are children of the Lord? It's well-pleasing for us to be, it's well-pleasing to the Lord for us to be obedient to Him, and it brings a smile to His face. Again, let's not lump ourselves over with the unregenerate who are dead in trespasses and sins and have no moving of the Spirit of God within. We are not that way anymore. We are alive. We are light. We have the witness of God, this Holy Spirit of God working in us. We that are members of the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church, we've got the work of this Comforter within us. We've been illuminated. We have the Word of God. We can pursue service of the Lord. And then we've been given the avenue and the blessing of prayer to petition God that He would work in us, strengthen us, and help us. I think that there's a thing that may be there among Sovereign Grace Baptists that the children of God, having been saved with the Spirit of God living and working within, having been given life, having been brought from darkness to light, having been brought from death unto life, that we consider ourselves to still be over here in this camp of the unregenerate and the unsaved and those that have no Spirit of God within them. They are there. They can't do anything. But we've been made alive. We've been admonished to walk as children of light. And because of the Spirit of God that dwells within, we can. Amen. And yet the Lord has made yet more provision for us in prayer that we can petition Him, that He would help us. But do you ask for help? Ask, seek, knock. He that doesn't ask won't get. He that doesn't look won't find. And he that doesn't knock, the door won't be opened. Amen. Amen. We've been changed. And may the Lord help us in that. How can we as children be acceptable to the Lord in obedience? Back in Romans chapter 12, we have this desire to be accepted. May the Lord help us that we consider and we desire to be accepted by God. And how is it that we can be accepted? How is it that we can work toward being well-pleasing to the Lord? Not a legalistic system of do's and don'ts, but an evaluation from the Scripture and the Word of God of obedience to the Lord and a putting away of sin and a desiring of those things that are right and righteous by the instruction of the Lord and His Word. How is it that we, as children, can be acceptable to the Lord? Well, He tells us right here. Listen to it. Verse number 1 of Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I just want to skip to that word, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, colon, but be ye transformed. You hear that? What is it that the Lord says about conformity? What is it that the Lord says about how we can be acceptable unto the Lord? He says, a command, be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, there is that word again, and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does the Lord say about conformity? What does the Lord say about being acceptable unto Him, well-pleasing unto Him as dear children, He says, be ye transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but rather be ye transformed. A metamorphosis, this is a Greek word that our word metamorphosis comes from. A caterpillar, once he goes through becoming a butterfly, he doesn't look nothing like a caterpillar, does he? Metamorphosis. A change. A change that's evidence, folks. A change that works from within to without. You know what? The person that is faking salvation cannot do this. Can't do it. But the one that's been saved by the Lord and been visited by the Holy Spirit of God, we need to avail ourselves to it. That this salvation work out. That we be transformed. What are some examples in the Scripture about this transformation? To transform, to change, to transfigure. Let's look about this. In Matthew chapter 17, take a look here. What does the Lord say about conformity? What does the Lord say about us being acceptable, well-pleasing unto Him? He says, be ye transformed. Child of God, be transformed. Be changed. Make a difference. Remember how we saw over there in the Scriptures that our obedience to the Lord and our proving of those things that are right and holy, those things that are given and shown to us of the Lord, that proving is a witness to the world? It's because there's been a difference in us. Well, we don't seek to be accepted by the world, and so we don't go to those places that we used to go to. We don't go to those places that the world goes to. We don't partake in those things, and by that make a difference. And as the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that when there's light, the darkness is going to be condemned. And we just need to get over that. What will people think? You know what? We need to drop that from our vocabulary. What will people think? We need to just drop it. What will they think? Doesn't matter what they think. We need to worry about what God thinks. What's the Lord think about this? What's the Lord think about this action in my life? These words that I say, this thinking that I think, these things that I do, what our family does, what's the world going to think? Who cares what the world thinks? What's God think? Who cares what the world thinks about what our church does? We want to be a good witness, but who cares what the world thinks? Because the world's never going to think anything right about what our church does. It's what does the Lord think? That's what we need to be concerned about. And the Lord says, be transformed. Be transformed. In Matthew chapter 17, you're familiar with this. And look at this word, use of this word, transformed. This is what the Lord wants of us. Well, Brother Jim, I can't make my clothes and myself white and glistering. I realize that. But listen to what the Scripture says here. And after 6 days in Matthew 17, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart. And was transfigured, the Lord Jesus Christ was, before them. And his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with the Lord. Talking about, it says in Luke, I believe, talking about his death in Jerusalem. Talking about his decease. Another account tells us about that. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Another account tells us that he didn't know what to say, so he just started talking. Like a boss I used to have, he said, just do something, right or wrong, just do something. No. But Peter, he went ahead and spoke. He said, let us make 3 tabernacles here. 3 tabernacles, 3 tents, 3 temples. One to honor all of you. And as one brother said, we'll make yours the biggest, Lord. But we've got to do something. This is so good. Listen to what goes on here. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Verse 5. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, listen to this, child of God. Listen to this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Are you and I hearing the Lord in regards to living this life that He's given us? Because that's the bottom line. He's the one to whom we should desire to be acceptable or well-pleasing to. What the world throws at us and what the world screams at us and the advertising of the world and all that, everything that comes after us, the depravity of our old man and all that we need to ignore, and we just need to hear the Lord. Hear Him.
Amen.
Hear Him and believe Him and trust Him in what He says. The Lord was transfigured. Did they go up there on the mount and take some stuff and smear it all over Him and then He was white and glistering and is and radiant like it was? No. You know where that transfiguration came from? It came from within. It came from the Lord's glory being suppressed. One of the things that the Lord did is the glory that He has, that He had with the Father, He took that and He, as I understand it, He took it and He laid it aside or He suppressed it. But on this instance, as He took these brethren on that mount and He allowed His glory to shine, it came from within, didn't it? It wasn't something that was affected on Him from without. It came from within. And you know what? You and I, we need to be transfigured from within. We've got the Spirit of God living within. What does the Lord say about conformity? He says, be ye transformed. What does the Lord say about acceptance? He says, be acceptable unto Me as a child desires and should be acceptable to their parents. What's the Lord say about acceptance? He says, be ye transformed. Make a difference. Make a difference in the world. Show a difference to the lost and dying world round about you that you are the Lord's, that you have been saved, that you've been touched by the Lord, and that you are living for Him. It's been recently said about some that all they want to do is talk about the Scriptures and bring up the Scriptures. What a compliment. They mean it as a slam, but what a compliment.
Amen.
That's a compliment. Always bring up the Scriptures. Always wanting to, always tore up about what that book says.
Amen.
We ought to be concerned about what the Bible says. Amen? We should. Amen. That is our rule of faith and practice. That is the way we operate. That's how we know God. You only know the Lord. You and I only know the Lord as well as we know Him in that book.
Amen.
If you don't know anything about what it says in that book, you don't know your God. You don't know your God and Savior. Yes, you may have some experiences in your life where the Lord's helped you and blessed you and those things that we certainly know of and give credit to the Lord and give credit to Him for His blessing and His work in our lives. But you don't know that's happened unless you know Him in His book.
Right.
And know Him in the Bible. Because the whole thing is indeed a spiritual affair that works out in this life. What does the Lord say about conformity? He says, be transformed. Be transformed, as it says here, to be other, to be different. And in Luke, the word there is that is used is altered, and it is a different meaning of a word, but it is to show a difference. People look on at the people of God living for the Lord and being a good witness for the Lord and desiring to please the Lord and be well accepted and pleasing to Him, and they'll say, you're different. That's an evidence of the transformation, folks. You believe different than other people. You want something. You're after something different than other people. Because it'll stand out. And that's what it needs to do. It needs to stand out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're just going to touch on this, and I'm going to leave this here with you. And I encourage you during the course of the week to read this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll give you a hint. How great is the transformation in you? Is it from within, or are you trying to work it from without? Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty. Liberty to serve. Liberty to obey. Before we were saved, folks, we couldn't obey in any way. But now, having been saved, we are able to obey. And we can be well-pleasing to our Heavenly Father and our Savior. What's the next verse say? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. It's talking about Jesus. You know what it's like to look in a mirror. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word changed that you see there is that same word transformed that we see in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. I want you to read that chapter this week. I encourage you to do so, because Lord willing, next Sunday, the message is going to be about that. We're going to take a look at it, more about this transformation and how it is that we can be transformed rather than conformed to this world, but be transformed and go on to see other things about this as the Lord blesses. In Romans chapter 2, verse 1, listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, everything in the body, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, that well-pleasing and perfect will of God. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Without Him, you have no hope. Without Him, you don't stand a chance of being pleasing to God in any way. You're far from Him. You're estranged from Him. There's a great gulf between you and the Lord. But Jesus Christ came, the Son of God came, and gave His life, His soul, His body, His blood for the remission of sins, for the payment of sins, to bring everlasting life to we who had no hope of life, to we that are living in death naturally. Born to die is the way we are naturally. And born to die two deaths, physical and spiritual. But the Lord Jesus Christ came so that sinners like you and me can have forgiveness of their sins and everlasting life in Him. Will you receive it? It's free. Will you believe it? You're commanded to do so. Repent and believe the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, for your soul, and your sins. He is the only hope you have. We point you to Him. We that are saved, we got the Spirit of God living within. Amen? We can serve, can't we? We got freedom and liberty to obey, to be acceptable and desire and work to bring the smile of our Savior and our Father upon us. We don't have to work to keep God loving us. He loves us forever. We got to understand that. But as an obedient child, don't you want to make your daddy happy? I don't mean that in any irreverent way at all. But may the Lord help us to see that. Don't you want to make your daddy happy? Amen. Does the way that you do, does the way that you think, what you do, what you say, does it make your daddy happy? May the Lord help us to consider.